This episode is dedicated to the life and memory of Joel Jojo Diaz. What is going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA podcast. I am your host, Josh Prepigina, back again for a beautiful week of MMA news, notes, and coverage. On this very rare Friday afternoon edition. Yes, afternoon, I'm not going to lie. I was pretty beat up this week, but the holiday did throw me for a loop, but we're here. After work on a Friday, it's a beautiful day and a beautiful week to talk about MMA. But first, before we get into that, I would like to thank you all for listening. If it's your first time, if you've been here before, thank you so much. The one thing I ask that you do is leave a 5-star rating and review on the feed wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, we're on it all. So if you would like to, I would like you to leave a 5-star rating and review. But with that being said, let's get into this week's news and notes. You heard off the top there that I did dedicate this show to a childhood friend who passed away early this week, Joel Diaz. And also, I would like to take this time to send my condolences to the family and friends of Susie Freeton. She is the makeup art, the longtime makeup artist for the UFC. She unfortunately lost her second battle with cancer earlier this week. So our hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to her friends and family, as well as all her colleagues. It seemed like she was someone who was extremely liked, and you know, it's always tough to hear when you lose somebody. You know, someone like Joel, you know, this week I was pretty rocked with what happened with him passing away so abruptly. It really rocked me because it wasn't like, you know, I've had people close to me pass away, obviously family members, me being a pastor's son, you know, the what we call ancianos in the church, when they pass away, that's pretty hard, because some of them are closer to me than, you know, my grandparents, like my actual grandparents. But it was like earth shattering when I heard Joel pass. This is like the first death where it's like, yo, that's like a friend of mine. Like, it's and I'm not gonna front and sugarcoat, like, I talk to this guy every day, but, you know, I spent so much time with him in, you know, years past that, you know, it really hurts. It really hurts. And I'm going to miss him, you know, knowing that he's around. Well, knowing that he's not around now really hurts. And, yeah, it kind of buzzed me, but, let's talk about some good stuff. Let's talk about something to lift our spirits. And with the permission of my first love, the guys that I care about most, my favorite friends of all time, the Matt Madness Podcast, I am going to cover All Out real fast, because obviously I was not able to stay up and record with those guys. But do me a favor, stop this, go check out Matt Madness. They have an All Out review up right now. But here goes my thoughts on, this could really summarize it if I say it, but All Out is one of the greatest pay-per-views I've watched. You know, it was nonstop from start to finish. It was just so much fun. It started off, for me personally, with the Miro match, and Miro defeating Eddie Kingston by pinfall. And I thought they had a really good match. Eddie Kingston, you would have thought he was from Chicago, the way that he was accepted there. And, you know, with Miro going for the, as they call in the wrestling business, nefarious means, I think that they can go back to this match. And I personally think that Eddie Kingston should win this title at the Arthur Ashe Stadium show against Miro. Now, are they going to do that? I'm not sure. But what Eddie Kingston has been able to do in such a short time in AEW is just such a perfect example of how you book somebody matters. From the beginning when Eddie Kingston came in, even though he came in with a loss, you know, with Cody, he lost to Cody, he still felt like a star. If you remember the first promo he cut with Cody, it was just magical to see this guy on the stage, because someone, even though they did offer him a contract, you know, and it never would have, you know, let's be honest, it never would have amounted to anything in WWE, but, you know, AEW was able to use all of his strengths and really push him. And even though it's been in a losing effort where he shines the most, whether it be against Cody or Miro or for the tag titles, you know, Eddie Kingston is someone who is must-see on AEW. And I cannot wait to see till when he finally gets that crowning achievement. You know, no one books losers better than AEW. Think about Jungle Boy, and we'll get to later on, Darby Allin. Those guys, no matter win, lose, or draw, they're always going to be beloved. And that's because the way that AEW pushes them. Moving on from that match, we move on to Jon Moxley versus Satoshi Kojima, which was, like, I guess you could just say a showcase just to get Moxley on the show. It seemed like if all was better in the world, it would have been Tanahashi. But since it was so close to the G1, it just didn't work out, and they ended up sending Kojima, which is a legend, and the crowd at AEW really took to him. So it worked, but, you know, I would have loved to see Tanahashi. He's the one who should have, excuse me, been in this spot. But Jon Moxley looks awesome. He came out in a GCW hoodie, and everybody knew why, because he won the title the night before. It was great. Jon Moxley's entrance is perfect. I love that they do the licensed music, because Wild Thing is the perfect song for him. He's a psychopath, so I love it. Moving on to Dr. Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander is the most underappreciated woman in wrestling. She is phenomenal. No matter where she goes, she feels like a star to me. Unfortunately, Britt Baker is one of the most over superstars in the company, so it was clear that she was going to win, but it still didn't ruin the match for me. I thought these girls had a really good match. Like I said, Chris Statlander always delivers. Britt Baker is a star, heel or not, it is great. Maybe the match of the show, Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks. Me, Eck, and Alo, and everybody else at the time that we used to hang out with were at the 2300 Arena. We saw Penta El Cero Miedo versus Sami Callihan in a hardcore match. I remember being front row. It was amazing. Penta's cool, but Rey Fénix is nuts. He jumped off the cage. The Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers had a phenomenal match. They pulled out all the stunts. Blood, for Richie Edge, a quote-unquote Travis Scott Air Jordan 1 with thumbtacks, which I guess is a thing that the Young Bucks do pretty often. But the Lucha Brothers get the victory and new AEW World Tag Team Champions. The moment after with Penta and his daughters. You know how I feel about being a father. So clearly, if you weren't a fan and you're a dad, you're definitely a fan now of Penta and Rey Fénix, obviously. This was phenomenal. There's not a bad tag team in AEW. Not one. Then we had the 21-woman Casino Battle Royale. We had inklings that the Joker spot, which is the final spot, was going to be formerly known as Ruby Riott or Heidi Lovelace, now Ruby Soho. And she ended up winning, which I was surprised for. I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to put Thunder Rosa over since she has beat Britt Baker in the past. I do think that they're going to get there at one point, but now for the shock factor, right with Ruby Soho, she said she's going to go through the division first, and then she'll finally challenge Dr. Britt Baker. It was great. The new name works, the music is great, and then her look is always phenomenal. That's what really draws you to her, is her personality. So good on Ruby Soho. Moving on to Chris Jericho versus MJF. If Jericho lost, he would have had to retire. This was the only, like, I'll say, like, dark spot. I think it just went too long. And maybe I was just so amped up about seeing CM Punk that I was, like, over this already. Like, I couldn't wait to get done. But Chris Jericho got it done by submission. He beats MJF, and he is allowed to continue to wrestle. Then we had CM Punk defeating Darby Allin. Punk's first match in 7 years. You know, Punk is a great wrestler. He's not the Young Bucks. He's not Kenny Omega. And I don't need him to be that. I really don't. I need him to be CM Punk, and that's what he was, and I was happy to see him. I don't have too many thoughts on the long, you know, tights. Like, it didn't bother me. I was just happy to see the guy. You guys know how I feel about Punk. I've been saying it for the last 3 weeks, and it was everything I wanted and more, because Darby Allin is just so much fun in the ring. To see him lock up with CM Punk really got to me, so I love this match. It was great for 16 minutes. Perfect. We had The Big Show, a.k.a. Paul White, defeating QT Marshall. 3 minutes. It didn't need to be any longer than that. Then we go to the main event. This was fun. Kenny Omega defeats Christian Cage by pinfall. There was no way Christian Cage was defeating Kenny Omega for the AEW title. But what I needed out of this match was Kenny and Christian to go out and have a really good match. And that's what they did. And that was just the precursor, which was the best part. This was just like, this was me baking the cake and the icing was coming next. So as soon as they get done the match, Kenny pins Christian after an avalanche one-winged angel. He gets on the mic. You know, the Elite come out to celebrate, and then he gives this speech like, oh, you know, nobody can beat me. You're either not here, retired, or you're dead. Cue brand new debuting AEW superstar Adam Cole. He comes out of the heel tunnel. Number one, great music. Obviously, he goes with the black and yellow as an ode to the Undisputed Era. He walks and just carries himself with so much swagger. I don't care if he's 5'8", because I know people don't like that these guys are shorter. He just has so much swagger. His mic skills are phenomenal. And he just, the way he carries himself is a big, big part of the character. You have to love it. It is great. He comes out. He gives everybody a hug. They do the double kiss spot. And, Adam Cole gets on the mic, and then you're like, okay, this is cool, you know? Maybe somebody will turn on somebody, we don't know. Boom, hit Daniel Bryan's new music, and out comes, not Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. He gets physical, and it was just so weird to see. Like, Adam Cole, you expect it. He's an, you know, we call an indie guy. These guys are best friends, but then you see Bryan Danielson, and you're like, yes, he's an indie guy, but think about everything that he was able to do in WWE that really overtook his personality as an indie guy. Like, he's not an indie guy anymore. He's the big leagues, but seeing him on this stage, I cannot be more excited. He fits in perfect. He says he's here to wrestle. That's what he cares about. That's all he wants to do. And I love it. I cannot wait to see Bryan Danielson. Adam Cole, of course. Adam Cole's pretty cut and dry. You know what you're going to get in the ring. But guess what? there's something about that character that I cannot wait to see more of what they do with the Elite. Now, that was AEW All Out in a nutshell. Those are my quick thoughts. Quickly, another thing before we do move on to MMA. The fallout from All Out. They did... I don't think they screwed the pooch. They tried to fit a gallon of water in a 16-ounce bottle and on Wednesday. And it was kind of tough. Like, it was a really busy show. And they, unfortunately, they got everybody on the show. And I think that they should have held some people off. I think this was the perfect opportunity to, you know, maybe say, like, tune in on Friday for this person's debut in the ring. You know, just do like, hey, Adam Cole's going to be facing Jungle Boy on Friday or Marco Stunt or something. You know what I mean? I think that they really should have done that, but I'm okay with it. I'm going to let it play out. I'm excited. I've never been, you know, when Punk came back, I was extremely excited for wrestling. But after this event, it's like must see. I cannot miss a thing. Shout out to AEW for bringing back that love. I never felt out of love of wrestling, but there was that rekindling that I needed. You know what I mean? And I got it with All Out. I got it with Dynamite. I got it with Rampage. I cannot wait. Thank you, AEW. And thank you guys for listening to the wrestling portion. It's very rare that I talk about wrestling, but since CM Punk is back, it's almost hard not to. Like, I feel like I have to bring it up. And I'll leave most of my wrestling talk for the Matt Madness podcast, but thank you guys with your blessing. I am able to talk about All Out here. So let's talk about this past week's MMA events. So we started off the night Saturday. Actually, we started off during the day, which was, let's just say, the best part about last Saturday's card is that it started at 2 o'clock. That was by far the best part. But let's be honest, it was also a very, very fun card, starting off with Julian Arosa defeating Charles Jourdain by third round submission due to a Darce choke. Mind you, Julian Arosa took this fight on, I believe, 10 days notice or something like that, something crazy. And he crushed it, man. They're both a lot of fun to watch, but it was good to see Julian Arosa get that win against Charles Jourdain. Then we had the return of Jack Shore. He was facing the Ultimate Fighter alum Ludovic Shalinian. Jack Shore defeats Ludovic by unanimous decision. Afterwards, it seemed like I think he messed up his shoulder. Jack Shore messed up his shoulder, as well as he broke his thumb. So maybe a little less activity because of those issues. But I do want to see Ludovic more. For him to stay in there like that against Jack Shore should be promising to the matchmakers. Like, if I were them, I'd probably book him again. We had the return of Meatball Molly McCann. She defeated Ji Young Kim by, I think they called it a split decision. Me personally, it was a unanimous decision. I thought she won all three rounds. Unfortunately, there was a headbutt that dropped her in that first round, but she looked phenomenal. Her first win in over 2 years. So congratulations to Meatball. I hope they book her quickly. Like, I hope she's able to come back relatively quickly, because I really think she is a really fun fighter in that 125-pound division. So let's see more Meatball. We had the highly anticipated debut of Patty the Batty Pimblett against the tough Luigi Vendramini. Now, I've watched this fight multiple times because, one, it was so much fun. such a blast. And it was only, you know, 4.5 minutes. But Patty gets it done by TKO in the very first round. Overcoming adversity, Luigi was able to drop him. You know, he took him down. But Patty was able to, you know, get his wits about him. When Luigi took him down, he was able to get back up. You know, Patty is really fun to watch. They say that his base isn't, you know, grappling, but his strikes are phenomenal. His kicks, he has obviously a lot of power behind those punches, but his kicks, he throws a lot of wild stuff. And that's really fun to watch. But here's my issue with Patty. You know, and I'm not here to give this. I'm terrible. I'm not a, you know, X's and O's guys. I'm not an X's and O guy, as they say. But there's an issue defensively there. Like, there's something he's missing defensively when it comes to striking that he needs to fix. Because Luigi Vendramini, let's be honest, he's not in the top 20. And if Patty wants to swing with that top 15 at 155, it's going to be a hell of a road for him. You know, it's not like he hasn't lost a fight, but we don't want to see these guys lose fights. We want to see them win, especially someone with somewhat so much personality as Patty. So I hope that after this fight, he really takes some time to figure out the issue defensively. Like, DC and Bisping kept talking about how he left his hands kind of low, you know, when he threw certain punches. And like I said, I'm not an X's and O's guys. I let the pros take care of that. But there is a defensive issue there for Patty. Or maybe he should not fall in love with his hands so much and use his grappling. If that's your number one thing, hey, man, you got to use it. Then we had the most terrifying finish of the night when Khalil Roundtree defeated Modestus Bukauskas by side kick to the knee and blows Modestus Bukauskas' knee out. This is, you know, it was crazy because when Khalil did it, I didn't have an issue with it. But when I see John Jones do it, I do. It's clearly my bias, and I'm okay to say that. But, man, this looked like it hurt. I hope that this really brings Khalil Roundtree's mindset up and he's able to get some sense of confidence after this win, because we know he has that, you know, mental space blockage that sometimes, you know, it's tough. It's tough to be a fighter. I couldn't imagine. So I hope that this really boosts his confidence and he's able to move forward. Alex Morono defeated David Zawada by unanimous decision. Nothing crazy here. Then in the co-main event, Tom Aspinall defeats Sergey Spivak by TKO in the very first round, just starching Sergey. You know, we look at Sergey, and he is very good. But damn, that was a tough finish. Tom Aspinall must be that much better. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think he debuted in the UFC rankings this week at number 11, is it? Which would be so crazy. What did he debut at? Here we go. Tom Aspinall. No, not debuted. He kept moving up the ladder. I'm sorry. He is number 11, right under Chris Daukaus. So, Daukaus is fighting Shamil Abdurakhimov soon. I'd personally think that Tom Aspinall should fight Augusto Sakai. He's the only one not matched up, so he's the one who has time. I want to see that. I definitely want to see it, because I like the subtle climb Tom Aspinall keeps taking. It's a good one. Then, in the main event, Mr. Bumson himself, Derek Brunson, defeats Darren Till by submission by rear naked choke in the third round. It's unfortunate, man. I'm not hopping. I'm just going to say I'm not hopping off the Darren Till bandwagon yet. But I do think that there needs to be a step back taken. You know, these are Derek Brunson is very good, but I wouldn't call him elite. Like, there are other people at 185 that I'd be terrified for him. Like, imagine if Jack Hermanson got his hands on Darren Till's neck. What he'd do to Darren Till if he got his hands on his neck. There's something that Darren Till is missing. Now, I'm not calling for Darren Till to go back to 170 because guess what? He's going to have an even worse problem at 170. All those guys can wrestle. The top five, they can all wrestle at 170. So if I'm Darren Till, I'm just trying to figure out my grappling prowess. See, we're talking about the loser when we should be focused on the winner. Derek Brunson, I think that he needs to fight Jared Cannonier, and the winner of that gets the winner of Izzy versus Whitaker. Bam, done. Signed, sealed, delivered. Yes, I think Brunson needs another fight. He got starched by Izzy. He needs another fight. Moving on to Tuesday, my favorite night in combat sports, Tuesday Night Contender Series. We started off with Chad Ellinger defeating Moin Gufarov by split decision. You know, the whole fight, I'm watching and I'm like, Gufarov is crushing this dude. But then when you look at it, Chad did get the more damage. He was able to thwart the takedowns and, you know, get some damage on the feet that he did win that fight. And for him, with that heart comes a contract. Congratulations, Chad Ellinger. We keep going with maybe in two episodes, my favorite fighter so far, CJ Vergara defeating Bruno Correa by TKO in the first round. Just a blitz at 125. This was beautiful. I love fights like this. He kneed him to the body and dropped him. This was amazing. These guys were going at it. And CJ got the best of it. Like I said, my favorite performance thus far in the Contender Series. I cannot wait to see him fight somebody like Brendan Royval. Oh my God. Could you imagine that at 125? Amazing. We had Simon Oliveira defeating Jose Aldo by split decision. Congratulations to Simon. He gets a contract as well. Then we had Chidi Njukwuani, is that how you say it? Njukwuani defeating the returning Mario Souza in the third round by TKO. Just really putting on a beautiful display of patience. He had the clear experience advantage. And Souza, you know, even like he shows blitz at times of this like really fun, dynamic fighter, but in all honesty, like, I don't think he's that good. And you know, Chidi was able to expose that and defeat him by TKO. Then in the main event, we had Josh Kuliang defeating Logan Urban. That is the most generic name ever. By TKO in the first round. Kuliang completely blitzing him. It was like the spam button over and over and over. Congratulations, Josh Kuliang. You have yourself a contract as well. And thank you guys for tuning in. This is the end of YBE MMA for this week. There is no MMA this weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Sit down with your family. Enjoy your time together. We'll get back at it next week. But I am Josh Prepigina. You can find me on all forms of social media. Elroy Preps in one word. You can find the show on Instagram at YBE MMA Podcast, as well as Teespring for merch. Teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA Podcast. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Love your mothers. I love you, Mom. Enjoy the Triller Fight Club this weekend. And we'll see you next week.